even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, it's Joey here. I know this isn't the normal intro we do, but that's because this is a special bonus episode. Last week, we had very funny comedian and romance expert watch the Ayesha Curry movie, Irish Wish, with us, and we were only going to talk for like 30 minutes and then talk about basketball, but there was a lot to say, so here's a little bonus episode. Sean and I will be back later this week.
We are very happy to have a very special guest coming in, a comedian, an author, and most important for our purposes today, a romance expert, specifically a rom-com expert. This is our friend Aaron Judge. Aaron, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm great. I thought you were going to introduce me as potentially being the other Aaron Judge.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. This is the only Aaron Judge who's agreed to do anything with a Bay Area. There we go. We are paying you $700 million, however, to do this appearance. This is, you know, I think it's going to be worth it. So you might be thinking, hey, Sean, why are we talking about rom-coms on an NBA podcast? Well, it's because is she the most prominent NBA wife, Joey? Is there a more famous?
I think Gabrielle Union is still the most prominent NBA wife.
He's not actually in the NBA anymore.
Still, though, he's around.
She's the most famous. It's Ayesha Curry is in a rom-com called Irish Wish.
There is an Irish witch in it, but it's a wish.
We call those saints.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. In this movie, saints are witches. Saints are witches. Yeah. It's a very respectful portrait of Ireland. But it's I don't know that Ayesha Curry has particularly done feature film acting before that. I know she's done.
Well, she was on Gary Unmarried.
She was on Gary Unmarried, as I called it. Morris Divorced.
Gary Unmarried, that was the meeting of the two most famous NBA spouses, Ayesha Curry and Jay Moore. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about the Kardashians? Weren't two of them NBA wives at the same time?
You know, there's continually a Kardashian dating someone in the NBA at a certain point. Mm-hmm. But so it's Khloe Kardashian has children with Tristan Thompson, who is technically still in. Oh, he was suspended for performance enhancing drugs this year, which was kind of incredible because he was averaging like points a game and was using steroids to do it. She was also with Lamar Odom. Kylie Jenner has had a lot of basketball boyfriends, but has not tied the knot with Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns, Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm. Kim Kardashian was 100% married to a basketball player.
Yeah, yes, Chris Humphries. Yes, for about 5 weeks. Yeah.
Yeah.
Generally, I would say that Devin Booker has done very well since the breakup. Often these players are left shell of themselves. I believe James Harden had a summer where he dated a Kardashian and his coach was fired by like December. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
in general, you have to be pretty strong to overcome that and resist it, I think, historically.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is we haven't seen a lot of NBA related romantic comedies. Last year we had, well, actually maybe 2 years ago, there was the movie Hustle with Adam Sandler. But the only real romance in that movie was between Adam Sandler and his loving wife, Queen Latifah. Mm-hmm. But that was more like, look at how nice this marriage is while this guy's professional life is kind of falling apart.
Okay. I mean, you're forgetting the one of the, there's the greatest NBA romantic comedy, Sean. Forget Paris.
Forget Paris, where
Billy Crystal's an
NBA referee.
Yeah.
With, and it has one of the worst framing devices of any movie I've ever seen, where for some reason the whole plot of the movie is a story some people have been telling at dinner, and nothing about it that wouldn't have made it better. Just like the story happens chronologically. The people aren't inserting any important information. Just him and Deborah Winger.
Somebody should have blown the whistle on that one.
Yeah. He also quits as a ref pretty early in the movie, probably because it was impossible. But this is not basketball related at all. It happens in Ireland, where all they know is hurling and eradication of snakes. Now, Aaron, can you give us, before we start talking about the movie, can we talk about your credentials to be talking about this?
Yeah. Sure. I would say, well, okay. So I host a comedy show at a romance bookstore called The Ripped Bodice. It is the first romance bookstore in the United States, the one in Los Angeles. There's now one in Brooklyn. There's a show there, a romantic comedy show there now too. That's what we call our show. Uh-huh. And I'm a novelist. I've written like a fun, sexy book, and it's fun and sexy. But like real romance fans are of a very, like, they know and understand and rock things on a deep level that I cannot compete with. Like, they're like, I've met the librarians of romance. I've met the people now who are truly, they know more about romance than you guys do about, like, you know, the NBA. And so it's an intimidating thing to call myself a romance expert when I know these folks are out there who, like, you know, they have tropes on their t-shirts. They communicate in these very romance-based ways, and but I will do my best to delve into this film with you.
Yeah, I was learning about the idea of you, the upcoming Anne Hathaway Harry Styles fake Harry Styles rom-com that's coming out. And in trying to like learn how much it was about Harry Styles, there were so many shorthands for tropes and amazing things I learned at, and that people were like disappointed at elements of it because it verged so far from classic romance. Anyway, it was very informative, even though I felt like I was just getting the tip of the romance iceberg. So, all right. So Irish Wish is a Lindsay Lohan vehicle. It is following. You might not think that Lindsay Lohan is still a bankable box office star. She is a tremendous streaming force. However, her previous rom-com for Netflix was very successful. So they made this one. And, it seems pretty, I don't know, it was well done. Her big hit was...
It was what's well that? Done?
I'm sorry, it wasn't well done. It was well received. It was okay, well received. Okay, sorry.
Gotcha. The previous one, she had a head bonk, right? She bonked her head.
Yes, it is called Falling for Christmas.
Yeah.
This is directed. So this is a return to the team behind Falling for Christmas. Falling for Christmas stars Lindsay Lohan and an actor whose name is Cord Overstreet, like Cord, like a musical cord. Mm-hmm. And it's directed by Janine Damian. You may know of her husband, Michael Damian, who is a former, it's like this thing that only existed in the 80s and early 90s, where a soap opera star would also somehow have like a limited pop music career at the same time and like more popular in Europe. That's what happened to Michael Damian. Do you know any Michael Damian songs? You probably know one of them. He sings the theme song for Saved by the Bell.
I do know that song.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Anyway.
Is it a full song or is it just like, that's the song?
I think that's the song. I don't think it's like,
right.
Yeah. He's trying to think of other going to school puns to flesh it out to 2 minutes and 42 seconds. All right. So, but this movie is called Irish Wish. And I'm just going to, let's just go through this. And if you have anything to say about this, feel free to jump in at any point. I'm kind of just going to take you through the plot of the movie. There's going to be some spoilers in case you've been waiting to see Irish Wish, but you've had a couple of weeks, so we don't, yeah. So this movie, like any good graduation speech, begins with a definition, which is a definition of wish.
And it's not the definition of
It's not really the definition of wish. It says like, verb for like one thing.
Think of a wish as this for the purposes of what is to follow.
Yeah.
And that's a good point. It's like, it's not a definition as much as a stipulation, I would say.
It's like, here's one way you could think about wish if you wanted to follow this movie. If you want to like suspend your disbelief, you have to start by saying, yes, that's the definition of wish.
Yeah, that, I guess that's what a wish is. And saints are witches. All right. So we, in our opening scene,
You're really taking ownership of this movie here, Sean.
I am taking ownership of this movie. Look, we're going
through
our
film.
Yeah, it's a lot. A lot goes on. So Lindsay Lohan is a book editor named Maddie Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Is she Maddie Kelly? Wow.
Yeah, okay. And
because she's Irish
American, she is not.
She's Irish American. Yeah,
she is not from Ireland,
which they don't even mention the fact that she's Irish American.
There are so many things in this movie about like what it is to be Irish and that don't get mentioned, talked about,
also
dealt with. Like the subtext that she ends up like she falls for this dude who's British. Like what?
Yeah, it's it's really. Well, these accents are kind of all over the place. I don't know if her character is supposed to be Irish American because her mom is Jane Seymour,
who does an accent in the first.
Maddie Kelly,
but Jane Seymour does do what I thought was an Irish accent in the first scene, and then is doing an American accent. Rest of the movie.
Where is Jane Seymour?
I wrote world's worst American accent or world's weirdest British accent here.
Where is Jane Seymour from? Is she English?
I think she's English.
Yeah.
Well, I'll look this up while you...
I'm doing it right now. She's
from the UK. It seemed like she agreed to do this movie if she didn't have to leave, like, her house.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does appear like she was signed on for exactly 16 hours. Like, 2 days, a mandatory lunch. Like, many of her scenes take place in...
In bed,
in one room, and then they have a weird... There's a lot of her actions happen off screen, too. That part is weird. So we begin, and Lindsay Lohan loses her scarf when it's closed in a cab door. She looks at, I just called this guy poor man's Daniel Radcliffe. He is supposed to be hot. He is hot in the same way that, like, Daniel Radcliffe could be considered hot.
Daniel Radcliffe, huh?
I just thought he was, like... very wee. Like he was on as like a handsome guy that people looked at and
he does not seem like someone that you'd wish to be married to.
Maybe that is Elijah Wood in his role in the Fellowship of the Rings. Like
okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Where you're like, you can tell this guy is very proud of every speck of facial hair that he is finally able to grow now that he turned 35.
Guys are brutal.
Yeah. Well, look, that was also my life. So he also drives a car with wing doors.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He wants to talk to her about something because she is his book editor.
Well, he's very famous. We need to.
He is very famous.
Famous author. But yes. Who is only. They're in New York, but all of the reporters talking to him also have Irish accents. I don't know if anyone caught that. They're
all from diaspora publications.
Yeah, this is
50 or 60 of those in New York that cover the Irish community abroad in New York. At least that was true maybe 100 years ago.
So we get to meet Lindsay's multiracial friends, who are Aisha Curry and a British Asian woman whose name I didn't write down while I was watching it. So rude. She has not been in a lot of things, let's just say.
What is Aisha Curry's character's name again?
Let me give you that right now. I refer to her as Aisha the entire time. Her name is Heather.
Aisha,
and the other and then her friend Emma is played by Elizabeth Tan, who the only thing I had heard of that she's been in is she's in Emily in Paris.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So she's in the Netflix machine. She's got a Netflix studio.
Yeah, contract. She's in a lot. That's right. Because she's also in some Netflix show called Top Boy. She's in a lot of like British things, it seems like. I don't recognize that she was in a Coronation Street. That's a soap opera, I guess. And she's in a Doctor Who episode.
Well, there you go. I feel like that's the Law and Order of the UK, is like everybody's in
episode. Yeah, she is a lot of Netflix, a lot of Acorn TV.
Sure.
If you're familiar with that. If you want to learn, if you want a show about a British person in a rural setting with a job that isn't the police, but still solves murders, Acorn TV is the place for you to find that. Like, oh, he's a farmer, but he's got a nose for solving a crime. Okay. Anyway, those are her friends, Heather and Aisha Curry. Says that she practically wrote the book, his new best-selling romance movie.
What is the book called, Sean? Did you write it down? Because I already forget.
I already forget the name. It's the name of the book.
The Beautiful Lake or something like that.
Yeah, it's really like, yeah, it's like Lovers at the Lake or...
Doesn't it also have the word Irish in it? I feel like it does.
Oh, which is like weird if it's a big hit in Ireland.
Yes.
Right? Irish book of Irish premise in Irish location. Big hit.
Oh, Leprechauns in Love.
Yeah.
I will find that as we keep going. Oh my God, there are so many. If you just look for Irish wish novel, you get Nora Roberts actually comes to your house.
She pulls a Jane Seymour and then she won't get out of your bed.
Yeah. I will say that the, the stuff looks correct in their fonts and signs. So we think that he's finally gonna make a move on his editor because she's in love with him. I'm sorry, his name is Paul Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Paul is a rough choice of a name for a character in something like this because every accent pronounces that name differently.
Yeah, yeah.
Like across the board, everybody.
And so sometimes people say it differently in different scenes in the same movie. I wouldn't say this movie's inconsistent. She psychs herself out and tells herself not to wimp out now. He says, "You're amazing. You balance me out. We make a great team." And here comes the curveball. He says, "Let's take our relationship to the next level. Will you work with me on my next book?" And she's going to delay writing her own novel. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then we get...
Which we see, spoiler alert, is called Untitled Novel.
Mm-hmm. Untitled Novel, yes. Yes. Untitled Novel. There are no... She has zero words in this document for the novel that she's working on. I mean, she, given the amount that she has in her new novel, actually, this seems like not the most terrible idea to just continue collaborating with this best-selling author. I don't know. And then he has a meet cute where he fixes her friend's...
Good lingo, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you. He fixes her friend Emma's fake eyelash, and suddenly...
Which could be deadly. I mean, he basically saves her from blindness, right? Like, she could have a major injury from that.
Yeah. And then he starts reading. I wanted to ask you about this, Aaron. He reads a little bit of this novel, and it contains the sentence, "He disappears into the shadows of the mossy glen."
The mossy glen.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Mossy. From Ireland.
Yeah, because everything's a little moist there.
Yeah.
He sinks slowly into the bog. Like, that's like the equivalent. I really felt like they were really like plastering on the Irish in that scene. And there's so much in this movie where you're just like, are they there? Is this being created in Ireland, or is this being created as a pastiche of like Ireland by a bunch of Irish Americans? I think it goes back and forth.
I have
a lot of other conspiracy theories about this movie too, but we'll get there.
I read you the definition of wish, actually, because I just found it. Sorry. Wish, verb. Well, sort of. To want something that cannot or will not happen. Really? And then it says, but what if it does? Yeah.
I was actually going to say, I don't feel like any Irish person was involved in the making of this movie at all.
I don't. I think. The book is called Two Irish Hearts.
Yeah, I knew it had Irish in it. Yeah.
Two Irish Hearts, which is a clattering, right? Like, that's what that is.
Yeah,
that is. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Man. Let's find an Irish thing and then, like, name something after it.
By the way, I do want to mention that Jane Seymour's first scene, where she's giving some expository dialogue with Lindsay Lohan, she is ordering toilet paper from a website called School Supplies of America. Uh-huh. And she's ordering $74 worth, which is either too much or way too little. Yeah. Also, kind of doesn't seem like it should be her job, but maybe I don't understand.
Because she's the principal of the school. Which we'll deal with in a quote-unquote comic scene later at an airport.
They're also she's constantly FaceTiming while, like, walking around the school with students there, too. Uh-huh. And again, she got paid in cash. She got paid in cash.
There's so much about the whole Jane Seymour subplot where I'm just like, what is happening? Like, why do antics happen to Jane Seymour? There's really no reason.
They really
justify it.
I have a theory about this. I think they cut a Jane Seymour B plot.
But
there's a line left in that doesn't make any sense. Towards the end, when she FaceTimes, Jane Seymour says, "I remember everything now."
Yes.
Oh,
she does.
Lost her memory when she has an accident off screen that they cut for budget.
Originally, Lindsay Lohan had to pick between her original wish of like kissing Paul Kennedy and her wish of getting her mom getting her memory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rewind. Let's go backwards and there's a lot of moments in this movie where there's an off screen dialogue line said, mm-hmm. so you know that they rewrote it after it was done.
100. There's a lot of dialogue that happens when you see the back of someone's head as well.
Like the ragtops going down in the convertible, which cars are a big thing in this movie too. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, because cars are. Everyone thinks of cars when they think of Ireland.
Ireland, yeah,
yeah, like big old SUVs, gorgeous. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Joey, will you explain what a check please scene is quickly?
So a check please scene is we've talked about romantic tropes or brought them up. A check please scene is a comedy trope that it's like a joke that's not really a joke that feels like a joke that you can just stick in a movie. Like
a guy
saying someone something awkward and then the guy going, "Check please," at the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Or like an action scene where there's like a huge gunfight and then your hero runs into the elevator and the girl from Ipanema is playing in the elevator very calmly.
Yeah.
That's a check, please.
So this literally has a check, please scene where Lindsay Lohan says check, please. And then Ayesha Curry says it's an open bar.
Yeah.
And it turns out Paul Kennedy has signed Emma's book with his phone number, which means that one scene later, we are leaving for their wedding in Ireland.
Okay. To be fair, they do a flip book with a calendar to show us that there's time passing.
You know what? Fair enough. I withdraw that objection. Now, I will say that people are wearing the worst outfits I've ever seen in my life in this movie. It seems like one benefit of being in a movie is that you can somehow sometimes like take home the wardrobe. That would not be the case here. We have Lindsay Lohan just wearing a plaid jacket and glasses to appear more homely. And she has a meet cute with a guy in a carousel dispute where she argues about whether a suitcase is hers or not. And somehow the suitcase opens and plaid boxers come out.
What?
Yeah.
Girls don't have those. See, here's the thing is like Lindsay Lohan's whole, first of all, she is stunningly beautiful. Every moment I look at her, I'm just like, look at her. She looks fantastic. But there is an issue here, which is that, like, how old is she? She's like 40.
She's like 37. I looked it up last night.
Oh, 37? Is that? I feel like they're shaving a little bit off.
Well, maybe. She's also just been famous since she was a very small child.
That's true. Yeah, but yeah. I do think, like, Ayesha Curry is also probably like late 30s, right?
I think so.
I think she's 38.
She is 35. She just turned 35.
Okay. So like maybe I'm overstating this, but I think that like a lot of the stuff that's happening is like this is like a 24-year-old girl.
My girlfriend said the same thing. When all three of those women said what their jobs were, so Ayesha Curry was a graphic designer. Lindsay Lohan is an assistant editor, and then I forget what Emma's
she works at Bergdorf's. That's why she got such a beautiful scarf. And those fake eyelashes, she gets samples for
Ivy
free.
Was like, these are loser jobs. These women need to get married now. They're already past the point of not being married.
They are definitely 24-year-old New York City jobs.
Yes, exactly.
They're not 37.
Yeah,
like these women in this movie are the ages of the Sex and the City women.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
yeah,
so they should have, you know, they should be a gallery curator and own their own PR firm. Like, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying 35-year-olds can't fall in love and get married, but the whole vibe is like, this is happening to somebody who's 24.
Yeah.
Because the other thing is, it seems like Lindsay Lohan has never had a relationship in her life because she only had a fantasy relationship with her coworker.
And whenever someone touches her, she
visibly flinches.
That's a whole other thing to discuss. Like the whole inciting incident for Act Two is just like, you're just like, what? Like it does not map neatly onto what I understand from romance novels. A wish fulfillment scenario.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Which is what it's supposed to be, right? So instead it's just it's a shocking scene of violence. And then she runs away. It's just, it's a very strange, I don't mean to get ahead of your narrative.
No.
The novelization of the Irish Wish.
He's writing it, actually.
I can tell.
Yeah, don't
worry about it. And you're hitting
it. I have to help someone write their book first, but then I'm definitely...
You have to
unnamed novel.
No, you have to help write the Christmas Prince 3 before they let you write the novelization of...
She meets this hot guy you can tell this
he's
movie
hot in comparison, I guess.
Oh, hotter.
Yeah.
But
he's,
I will
also
say,
got a little edge, right?
He's a little edge.
He's very
also, he's maybe homeless. That also
he's
maybe
100% homeless. That is, he lives on the road by his camera.
Yeah. And so this is basically written as if no technology except FaceTime from the last 25 years had happened, because she can't get a cab or an Uber. Cell phones just shut down all the time. And this
guy's Ireland, baby.
Yeah. And this guy's mad because of he's a photographer, but he hates the world of camera phones. And then she says she's going to a wedding. He jokes about her catching a bouquet, and she gets mad out of nowhere and says that who says she wants to get married anyway? Also, for some reason, she's holding a copy of Two Irish Hearts.
And he's like, hey, that presumably book sucks.
Yeah, he's like, that book sucks. And then she says, well, what would you say if I told you I edited that book? And he says, my deepest sympathies. And they're enemies. They'll never, never find common ground.
I have a correction to this.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Somebody wrote that he said this book sucks, and then they had to hit backspace, backspace, backspace. Because what he actually says is, I read part of his previous book, and it sucked.
Oh.
Right, because he reads it later.
Lindsay Lohan wrote this book.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, right.
Two Irish Hearts was like the brilliant concept of two Irish hearts coming together, maybe in a ring formation, was the premise that Paul Kennedy contributed, but Lindsay Lohan wrote all the poems. Yeah. And
that's right. That's right. And it's really good. This is a legit success.
It's also, you can tell how Joycean it is when you read it.
Well, he's her favorite author.
Yeah. we'll get there.
Yeah.
She says that Paul Kennedy is one of the best-selling authors, and then he says we sell a lot of fish and chips. Ooh, burn.
I would love to read a real-time stream of consciousness trope-filled romance novel that just like, goes to truly Joycean. Like we need that.
Yeah,
the world needs that.
So we get to meet his family. I feel like his brother Corey was gay, but we don't.
This is Paul Kennedy. We're not
Paul
Kennedy's
family. Sorry, yeah.
The other dude whose name is, I forget.
I mean, it doesn't matter, obviously, but his name is James Thomas.
James Thomas, yes.
Yeah, he was the lead in Aragon when he was a kid.
He is Welsh, I guess. The actor's Welsh, but he's speaking in a British accent.
Yes.
He reads English in Ireland.
Yes. Yes. Where we are. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Except then, what I will say is he reads English in Ireland, but the activities they'll have him do are the Irish person's activities, and the Irish people are doing the English people's activities. Like when they go to Paul Kennedy's house, I was like, oh, so these are Protestants.
Right.
Because they're like.
Which. Can we talk about Paul Kennedy's house for a minute? Can we unpack some of these locations? Because the other thing, in addition to Lindsay Lohan and Aisha Curry being very beautiful, Ireland is very beautiful.
Yes.
They do a good job of that.
With your, like, the correct settings on your TV to watch, like, a nature documentary, because it's very lovely.
Yeah, but just treat it like it's the Yule log, basically, when you watch this.
Yeah, watch it on St. Patrick's Day while you have a party, and it's in the background. But the English, like, okay, the estate. My thinking here, based on 2 seconds of research, is that this is somehow like underwritten by Guinness. Yes. And that's the Guinness family's house. And it's the Guinness family's private lake.
That's, I also found that out. That lake is not accessible by the public that they're on.
Which is a good thing, because if a saint just grants anybody wishes who sits there, that could be a public health hazard. You know, you have to limit access to a place like that. It's magical.
I just got the sense that this is an estate someone would have after generations of collaborating with the British and selling out their own countrymen.
But yeah, this is not an estate you see in anything else about Ireland ever. Like, no, this is a very British thing that they've put in Ireland.
But then the other guy's like, I like to go to pubs and look at nature.
It does make me wonder, because then the other thing about this house and the fact that, like, they have 15 guests at this wedding, like, this huge house, is these cars. And I don't know cars, but, like, they're all these luxury cars from all over the world are, like, rolling all over this estate. And this is Paul Kennedy, which, by the way, I'm like, I hope they're not trying to suggest that he makes this much money writing books. And ultimately they are not. Like, he seems to come from money.
Yeah.
At first it's just like, wow, she should make more for writing his books, ghostwriting.
Yeah, like, stay on that gravy train.
Well, he says several times, you know, I'm famous.
He does.
Go ahead.
Gossip rag famous, perhaps. Yeah. You know, he was being a lad at some point while he was like a rich kid.
But also, speaking of the cars, even the car the quote-unquote poor guy is driving around in is like an insane
It's a car. Triumph convertible that he borrows
vintage.
From a guy who owns a pub in exchange for giving him a photo. The only thing we really learn in this scene, except explaining his photogenic car, is that he doesn't want to get married.
I think we also learn that he has some ties to this world.
That he's there a lot.
We don't know what they are, what the nature of these
all very undefined. Okay, so then we set up our real premise. Right here I wrote, Ayesha Curry, not worst actress in movie, not worst actress in two-person scenes with Lindsay Lohan. They're supposed to go on a girls' night, but first they have an awkward five-person picnic where Ayesha is hitting on Paul Kennedy's brother, again, I thought was supposed to read gay, but maybe not. I don't know. And Lindsay Lohan, she separates herself from the rowboats, has to take a picture of the happy couple, and then gets inexplicably FaceTimed from high school by James Seymour. And then we meet the wishing chair, and a mysterious Irish witch who we later learned is Saint Bridget, lets her wish for what she wants. This was the point I wrote. This movie is racist against the Irish, right? And her wish is that she was marrying Paul Kennedy. It's an insane wish.
It's such a selfish wish because she's denying her ostensibly best friend the love of her life.
Yeah, I mean, Aisha's her best friend, but one of her two best friends.
Yeah, one of her only friends.
I actually am a little bit of a sucker for this kind of premise. I am a little bit of a sucker for, like, careful what you wish for, because, you know, the grass is never greener. The grass is always brown. That's what I should say. But I do like the, like, okay, you want to be transported into your fantasy life. Let's see what that looks like. But from the very jump, she is pretty freaked out by it.
And also weirdly has no sexual attraction for Paul Kennedy.
She's never seen a naked man before.
That is my understanding. He like eyes his junk like a lot of times. Like, that's like the sauciest thing in the movie. It's like, she's like, is this really happening? Is that a real thing? It's like, she's never seen a naked man before in her life. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, she's embarrassed because this is her, in her mind, this is her friend's fiance. She doesn't realize she's inhabiting the world of her wish now.
Yeah.
The whole of reality in the space-time continuum has been altered. Everybody understands. They have a history she doesn't remember. Like, there's a whole bunch of premises here that we have to find out eventually about how this transformation of circumstances has occurred. But so she's marrying this guy. And then the very next scene, she's so excited to be marrying him. She is sleeping in her bed, and then he's there next to her. He puts his hand on her arm. She turns around, punches him, and kicks him. To the point
where she punches him in the
body. Like, she punches his face.
Yeah.
Cuts his face. And, like, this is the man she's been fantasizing with for years. And
She does.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Ayesha Curry has my second favorite line of the movie.
Is it, girl, you're marrying Paul Kennedy?
Because
that
was pretty good. This one is, you have to try these local woodland strawberries. They're delicious. She nails it.
I have a question about that, actually.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Was that in the script?
Or is
she's like a food lady, like, she's a foodie in IRL.
Well, she knows Lindsay Lohan through Michael Minna, the guy who's her restaurant partner.
Yeah.
Apparently they met in Dubai.
Well, that's where Lindsay Lohan lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is really? Blew my mind. Yeah. Lindsay Lohan lives in Dubai.
So one of the first things that happens in her. Yeah. Yeah. One of the things that happens in her wish fantasy is that she immediately separates from Paul Kennedy because she can't ride a bike. She doesn't know how to ride a bicycle. She's 37 years old, just never came
up. From Des Moines, Iowa.
From Des Moines, Iowa. Bikes just weren't in the equation. And then Emma steps in. And she's
like, they zoom in on the gears, like, whoa, what's she supposed to do?
Yeah, like... And so she has to pick strawberries and said Emma goes off on the date. And we learned that
hold on, I want to go back here. Okay. What I will say is Lindsay Lohan has such a horrible, difficult task that they make her put her through there as an actress of pretending not to know how to ride a bike because it's impossible. Once you learn how to ride a bike, you cannot remember how not to ride a bike. Doing is just like wobbling the handlebars a lot.
Yeah, it looks like there's something like medically wrong with her. Actually, for most of this film, I would say you would think like there's something wrong. Like she's always crashing into things. She's dropping stuff. She can't recognize her own suitcase.
I will say
that he's like, hey, can you read the luggage tag? And she's like, let me just open it up.
I do like one stunt she does later, but as part of her
falling.
By she,
you mean her stunt double.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Giant
yes.
red wig.
Yes, yes, of course. Not Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
But when she runs and flips over the convertible and falls in his lap,
yes,
that's a good little stunt. That's that's a charming little romantic comedy bit. Yeah.
So what we end up having, what ends up happening is Emma and Paul bond over their pro Botox stance on inclusion. That was Lindsay Lohan demanding that be in the movie. The photographer wins a free copy of Two Irish Hearts for being the 100th customer of the week, costly promotion.
I would like to talk about the actor playing the man in the bookstore there. What was happening there? It felt like that sequence all of a sudden out of nowhere feels like it's from The Room.
Yeah.
Like the man... acting as the clerk at this bookstore has an undefinable
very strange Ohi-mark quality.
Accent.
Well, like his name is Rodrigo Turnavoy. I wrote that down because it was very strange. I don't know anything about him.
Did he win a Brazilian contest?
No, it's because he's from Brazil. And went there to study English and is now just an Irish national, but he just has a very strange accent as a result. You're from Brazil and
also it feels like he's never acted before because he's doing like he's like, you have won the new book, Three Irish Wishes. Like it doesn't like it's incomprehensible and pointless. The scene is pointless.
Well, he's also wearing a checkered shirt, an Argyle vest. It is absolutely insane.
He's also like 9 or 10 feet taller than the other.
Yes, yes.
And he's like, oh, and here's a little gift for you and a bookmark. And it's the slowest bit ever with no jokes. I was like, is this guy famous? Like, because it feels like a cameo of a famous person, but also it's insane.
Oh man,
it's the best part of the movie.
I think I was inured to all the stuff that didn't make sense at that point. I was like, well, here we are in the bookstore with this character.
Part
of our journey as we go through our day here on the Dubliners romance.
He apparently mainly works in Brazil.
In bookstores.
Yeah, I mean, he also said his mind was blown at how big the budget was for Irish Wish.
Are you looking at an interview with this man?
I am. I'm from RSVP Live, obviously.
Wow.
It's a paper based in Fair City.
But yes, this is another thing I would like to mention. This is where I noticed, hey, for a movie that has clearly spent the budget to film in Ireland, there are very few Irish people in the movie. It's all English people.
Yeah.
All people who have overalls with Netflix UK.
Yeah.
But here's the thing is, like, you know how you want to get an outfit to take home? Mm-hmm. And that's like you're on a movie like this. Maybe you could take home your wardrobe. I think that they all just, all the producers wanted to take home cars.
Yeah.
Get the budget on those cars.
And then they're like, we just have to pick people on the street that we found here to act. We also get the setup to why James Thomas is going to be free this week, because the sheep shearing festival was canceled.
That he was sent there to photograph.
Yeah. One of the sheep tweeted something racist. Mm-hmm. So cancel culture has led to this movie.
Saint Witch Wish does a little pranky prank. It's one of her little antics. When she shows up on, like, flashes on screens and stuff, it's kind of freaky deaky. Also, like, she's, first of all, I thought, based on the fact that she always has a scarf on that's, like, wrapped around the front of her neck, I was like, was Saint Bridget decapitated? Like, did she get killed that way? But no, they're just like, let's cover the front of her neck. That's her thing. She wraps a scarf around the front of her neck.
And yeah,
her
she was a nun. That
is that the idea? It's a habit?
Like, I mean, she in when you look up Bridget of Kildare, she's always got a habit on. So she's
like from a rich family. It's like her sainthood is like she left behind her wealth. But like the outfits they put on this actor are just like so strange. They're like, oh, like she's wearing silk pajamas for all of eternity as she runs around granting wishes.
Mm-hmm. By the way, one wardrobe note that my fiance Emily wanted me to notice is that everybody keeps their wedding clothes just folded up in a suitcase. No bags, no nothing, just crammed inside.
Including the wedding dress.
The wedding dress. Just folded up like a raincoat,
And there's like a whole subtext around this wedding dress that she bought with her mom, Jane Seymour, but she has to wear this other dress. And
But that wedding dress, the Jane Seymour wedding dress is like, looks like it's like from Forever 21. Like, it's not a wedding dress. It's like a white dress on a hanger.
Sure. But the thing is, like, fast forward to the wedding that's supposed to happen. Spoiler alert. But Emma's not wearing the family traditional dress and they just never address it. They're just like, oh yeah, we don't care about that anymore because it's not.
Can I tell you? I didn't mention one bizarre scene here. There's some dialogue about how they ordered a wedding cake that was too tall for the delivery truck, and then Lindsay Lohan says, "Could we get a smaller cake?" And then everyone's like, "You're so smart." It never comes up again. That's all. I just wanted to. And then
why, especially considering when you see how many guests are at this wedding, why they would need a cake that large? Because only 12 people are there.
There's a dozen people. They're all Gen Z. They're all 22. These old people with the estate have no friends, and there's no society people there.
Well, and James Kennedy doesn't appear to have friends. And also Paul Kennedy. Sorry, I combined the two to make the perfect man. Paul Kennedy doesn't appear to have friends because the only other Gen Z person we meet out of this group of Gen Zers milling around is friends of Paul Kennedy's brother, who's like, "Hey, this is my friend Finn."
An American, because he's Lindsay Lohan's brother.
And also half of Paul's family is British anyway, so...
It's all so bizarre. And I feel like, did we skip something about... Oh, we skipped the fact that she went off for the whole of Act 2 with James Thomas.
Well, we haven't gotten there yet. We're still at the Sheep Shearing Festival.
Sorry.
So he just had the canceled Sheep Shearing Festival.
He had to cancel Sheep Shearing. The woman triples his wedding photographer...
fee, and then they need PR photos. Assuming this is for Paul Kennedy's career, they need PR photos of them in the Irish countryside. But then, because his balls are so injured, she has to go on the photo shoot alone.
He showed mild affection to his fiance.
Yeah, and then Emma and Aisha go to get, I'm sorry, Emma and Heather go to get Mammy Petties because they weren't able to have their girls' night in rural Ireland because it was wished away from them. They were going to meet single guys near this estate, I guess. And he's hassling her about how she and Paul have nothing in common. And then she says, she asks him to be quiet, and he says, as you wish. And then we get a look of Lindsay Lohan being like, he said wish? And then we get an insane subplot of Jane Seymour's oversleeping. Again, like, probably not even in the shot because she's under the covers.
Definitely not in the shot because I didn't even realize it was her because it's not her. It's some kind of double. They put a giant sleep mask on and sleep gloves to film a clock moving, because I'm telling you, the original plot of this movie was Jane Seymour being like, I don't think the Irish magic worked outside of Ireland. And she was like, you're not supposed to marry Paul Kennedy. And then she hits her head and is like, now I remember you're marrying Paul Kennedy.
I don't even think they tried that hard, honestly. I think you're assuming. I think they just needed Jane Seymour. And she's like, you get me for 2 days and that's it.
How you reverse engineered that, though.
I don't understand the line, I remember everything. At no point has she forgotten anything.
No, right. she is supposed to have, I think they tried to film the stunt where she hurts herself at the airport and it didn't work, or they ran out of time. That's my guess.
She bites the dust.
See her fall down.
I guess it's just, I don't know. Regardless, she is incredibly unimportant in this movie because she was supposed to sort out the dress. One thing they talk about at the Cliffs of Moher is that Lindsay Lohan says she felt like she stepped into a James Joyce novel. And then we find out James Joyce is her favorite author. Yeah, he didn't expect to hear that from him.
Which one, Sean? Which James Joyce?
Yeah. Which one would take place on the Cliffs of Moher? I don't know. Like if I'd be like, I stepped into a James Joyce novel. I'm like, did a child lose all their money at a carnival?
Did someone throw up in a gutter? Like somebody I hate.
Yeah, is a guy feeling guilty about masturbating? Like, what's happening? Like, they're not really. There's a reason his book is called Dubliners. It's not sightseeingers. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like Portrait of the Artist as a tour guide. No, it's anyway, a real James Joyce setting is Paris, France, because he left Ireland very early in his life.
He was exiled.
Yeah.
And that's why it's always funny to go to Dublin and see his statue every 4 feet and a plaque with his name on it when he wasn't allowed to live there while he was alive.
So then we see Paul is still icing his face from the absolutely brutal beating that
Lindsay Lohan for touching her shoulder.
And then we've solved this problem because Emma has concealer, because that's all you need when you get hit in the face. Mm-hmm. Makeup from Bergdorf's, and then she starts icing his face for him, which I don't know, it feels inappropriate.
They do have a classic like prop ice pack. Like, you've never seen that ice pack except that it's the ice pack that you ice your face with in a movie, and they managed to spend some of their budget on that on a plaid version, which was a nice touch.
We get some more literary references because he says, if you don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes. Mark Twain said that. So, and then we have this very awkward way to make her spend time with James Thomas, because the road is blocked because it's raining and there's a tree across the road. So their only choice is to go to a very merry pub with good fish and chips. And then,
hold on.
Yes.
They mention this fish and chips and getting fish and chips several times, and then mm-hmm. they drink one beer and then go, time for bed.
Yep.
You never see yep. the famous fish and chips.
There's also, they realize it's a flimsy premise because they even add a line of dialogue where they arrive at this pub and the guy says, oh, there's a treat out of the road. And he's like, I heard it's serious. this guy,
and then the youth of Ireland, though, they're all there doing their traditional playing of fiddles uh-huh. and dancing literal jigs in the pub.
To be fair,
is for real. I'm just like, who is allowing this to be the portrayal of what the community, the young people, are doing for fun?
Yes. To be fair, I have been to small pubs in Ireland where they were doing that, actually.
Like young people, though?
Yes.
Like 25
well, there were old people in the band mixed with young people, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It was a very small town that I went to.
It just really seemed like this was like a costumed troupe of dancers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Like, we've been hired to do our routine around the hearth in this pub, like on the set of this movie.
Well, the other thing I will say is I actually know about traditional Irish step dancing because brother did it. And those people are not Irish dancers. Those are just dancers they've hired to do a pastiche of Irish dancing because they are using their arms way too much.
Oh, yeah. You got to keep your arms down. You're right. Yeah, they're kind of square dancing, yes. if anything.
They're doing some kind of other jig.
Yeah.
It's a jig, but their arms are going for sure. And then, like, the other thing is James Thomas is getting super handsy with Lindsay Lohan a couple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
her to teach her how to shoot darts, and then they're swing dancing or whatever.
That was one of my favorite parts of the movie because you see that like sexy instructional learning to play pool or whatever trope. Mm-hmm. I've never seen it with pub darts before, so they are breaking ground in that. She also hits an immediate bullseye after missing entirely.
I actually wanted to talk about his outfit on this road trip here, too.
Please, yes.
So he's blonde and not... He's handsome, obviously, but he's not like... I mean, he's the most handsome man in the movie.
Yes.
But whoever the costume designer was like, I don't know how to dress a handsome blonde man. He's driving a vintage sports car. He's cosplaying as Steve McQueen in this scene. Because he's wearing the striped t-shirt with the like navy jacket and the Wayfarer sunglasses, driving the vintage convertible, and they're like, Steve McQueen, that's the handsome blonde man we can think of.
Right.
Well, and can we just go back to, we never talked about Paul Kennedy's outfit when
wakes
up at the estate. And
he's wearing the worst hat since Mike Love.
And then he also has like a pink long sleeve button down with like a literal teal sweater that is not tied around his neck. The arms are just hanging down. Mm-hmm. It's the preppiest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And like and then Lindsay Lohan's like plaid dress is like the same colors.
Yeah.
Somebody was having a ball with the styling of this movie. Until we get to the wedding, we have to talk about the wedding outfits. Poor Aisha Curry, back to her, but let's keep going from where you are, Sean.
Oh yeah. Also, I just want to mention, is Finn gay? Is Corey gay? It's all like, they talk about how they don't want to upstage each other at the wedding entrance. It's very strange.
I think he's just a character, right?
Yeah.
Card.
So then we start to get, now they have to go back to the castle. Oh, also she does not talk to Paul. She just leaves a message and is like, hey, it's raining.
It's raining. I'm going to fuck this photographer. Bye.
Yeah. And then she gets splattered in mud because the car won't start and they have to push it. And she's mad to the wedding rehearsal. And everyone is gigantic dicks about it.
And Emma is standing in for her at the wedding rehearsal.
Yeah. Emma is. Yes. As you would. She's stood in for her at every possible moment of this. And then Aisha Curry gives my third favorite Aisha Curry line of the movie. Those trees can be a real challenge. And we don't even know if they had a chainsaw. Right, Emma? And then they're I don't know. They make fun of her for going to the Clift of Moher as well.
They're like, also, a touristy spot?
Yeah.
And really what it is we're Protestants. That's what they're saying.
And then we're Protestant.
We're only here to strip the coal from this beautiful land.
Deride the colonized.
We're gonna eat these
people's children for fuel. Also, Jane Seymour has now been transported to Home Alone. Where she's trying to get a flight to Ireland, and then she missed her flight. She gets mad at the counter girl. The counter girl's like, "Well, you're in the wrong line." And I'm not sure who we're supposed to be sympathetic for in this scene. Like,
well, yeah, and then the counter girl is like doing a bit, like,
yeah,
the longest bit in the world, yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, you're late. You're kidding.
Oh, yeah. I'm texting my friend." Right,
but she never says the conclusion, which is like, I guess when I was late all the time and I got in trouble, like, she never gets there. She's just like, "What? Oh, that's so crazy. You're my principal."
She at one point goes, "I'm texting Kimmy from detention."
And there's no payoff at all. And like, you would think you're like, "Oh, you'll pull some strings to help her out, right?" Nope. And then, so finally, after Emma stands in at rehearsal, they're about to kiss, and because Lindsay Lohan is unmarried, she can't be kissed by another man, the stained glass window winks at her, and she screams before they can kiss.
Wait,
oh, Saint Bridget.
She faints.
She faints.
Oh, she faints.
She faints.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Into his arm.
And then they're doing the champagne toast, and Maddie is drinking Guinness because she went to an Irish bar and had one of them, and now she's out.
They also, won't even Guinness say glasses, it's Guinness.
No, they
won't.
They're
so frosty.
Yeah.
Guinness glasses are so frosty. They're like drinking Guinness out of like things like pints and glasses that have been in the like freezer. That's not how you drink Guinness. Certainly not in Ireland. You don't drink Guinness freezing cold. It's like a room temperature thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then, so we get then Corey. He's starting trouble as if he's maybe read the script to this movie. He starts playing a game of how well do you know your fiance? Now, that is a common thing to do at like a bachelor party. But the whole idea is that you have someone's answers to compare to. And apparently the context of the wish rules are very confusing, I would say, Joey.
Yes, this is where the whole thing, it's like, oh, so she has a whole past she doesn't remember?
Yeah, this is where this is where a smarter movie would become a horror movie.
Yeah, because this is like, and you're going to marry this guy?
Yeah.
And like, he knows all these things that she doesn't have any memories of? Mm-hmm. They ask who her favorite author is, and she lies and says,
"Well,
he says
Dickens."
Because it's, yeah,
and she keeps lying to agree with it, while Fody McFoderson is in the background, like James Joyce, like mouthing
or taking a picture of this.
Well,
it'd be funny
photos.
If he said Jonathan Swift,
yeah.
And revealed all of his Protestant anxiety in that moment,
and then
he
says
Charles Dickens.
They could have said Oscar Wilde, by the way.
There's no first song that they dance to. And where did Paul propose to her? This is actually my favorite Aisha Curry line. Go on, Maddie, tell them.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. I like how you're really doing a beat-by-beat tribute to Aisha Curry's performance in this.
I want to just get the line readings right.
And the big reveal is horrifying.
Yeah.
The story they tell is that she bullied him into this wedding.
Yes.
You realize that, right?
She says, "What would it take for you to bring me to Ireland?"
And then he says, you'd have to be my wife." And then she proposes to him.
So
she's learning this in real time. So this whole story is not a decision anybody in the room has ever made.
Uh-huh.
It's just being superimposed on her consciousness.
It's a fiction made up by my favorite writer, Saint Bridget.
And then we get a completely... Okay, so then they dance. Everybody's dancing. Lindsay Lohan
doesn't dance, can't dance. And then she has a truly insane
scene. We saw her dance anyway. She has somehow lied to Paul Kennedy for some reason that she doesn't dance.
And then this is a great line from "We spent a day together. I admit it was a beautiful day, filled with dramatic vistas and romantic rain. But tomorrow, I'm marrying Paul Kennedy."
I like that they always refer to him by his full name.
Paul Kennedy. Yeah. He's very famous. And then he gets mad and asks if she's making a mistake. And then she says he doesn't have a right to question her life choices. And then he says he would have proposed to her first, and then tells her that he's leaving the day after the wedding because he has to photograph an endangered tree lizard. And then her response to that is, "Keep running from your own life." It's one of my favorite movie scenes where it just feels like everyone's lines could have followed literally any line of dialogue. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, they could have been improvising. They could have shuffled the script. It could have just been a robot coming up with this script.
This is what the writers were fighting against, is the AI, which was clearly writing the scene, which apparently the rules don't apply in Ireland. But it's also like the tension between them. She's a good actor. Like, she's delivering these lines in a way where you're kind of like following her emotions. But it's also like, it's like the only choice you made was to make an insane wish on a bench that you didn't think would come true.
Like, and the whole time, a 5-year-old girl. And then I went to graduate school. Yeah.
And she is really doing her best. It's just, it doesn't even seem like at any point she wants this wish. We get to the most insane part of the Jane Seymour plot, which is that St. Bridget travels through the internet somehow to Des Moines, Ireland, and
to Des Moines,
changes
Iowa.
The departure gate.
Des Moines, Iowa.
And changes the departure date, which gets Jane Seymour horribly injured.
And there are so many more people at this departure gate than there are at the wedding. Like, it's just like they blew all of their extras budget on the gate.
Yes. And then they're like, oh god, we're gonna have to let this Brazilian guy play the owner of a rare bookshop which is giving away a mass market romance novel for some reason at a rare bookstore. That's Paul's Dancing with Emma. We get to see untitled novel by Madeline Carey Kelly.
Before that, we see Lindsay Lohan is looking out the window and Paul Kennedy is talking to her friend Emma in the backyard, and Emma is like weeping. Leaves her.
Then we get a couple of great lines. One of them is, "It's one thing to edit a book. It's another thing to go on editing your own life." Mm-hmm. Did that hit close to home for you as an author, Aaron?
Oh yeah. I barely edited my book and I'm barely making decisions in my own life. It's the book stuff in this whole thing is somehow weaker than even the other stuff.
Yes.
You're not really feeling like the publishing world in any way. Like, I don't know. It's, and the like, even just the whole premise of like, let's go out and get publicity shots during the wedding weekend for the next book. It's just like, okay.
And how should we arrange that? Well, maybe you'll fall into someone's car.
Wedding photographer, definitely the same photographer you'd want to get for filming vistas or whatever for your book.
I am getting married in a couple months, and I have set aside 2 days before the wedding exclusively to put in concealer on my face and with comical ice packs on my
little bike trips around
tiny bike trips
the area.
Now, I don't think my fiance would want to go on a bike trip with me either, but I'm pretty sure she can ride a bike. It hasn't come up, but
it would be funny if you were like, "Look, while we have this photographer here, I just want to get the promo pictures for my next album."
Yeah. Yeah, you stay home. I gotta go get some publicity shots here.
I've got to go hold a banana to my face like it's a phone.
Then a real wise Irish priest comes in, and Aisha Curry greets him with another great line.
hi, father. Really good. And then we learned that you have to be careful with Saint Bridget. She's got a bit of a sense of humor. Mm. She may not give you what you want, but she'll always give you what you need and That's send your mother Irish to say. The hospital.
Uh-huh. You gotta be careful with Saint Bridget. She's got a, like, if the Irish tell you somebody's got a sense of humor, it means like they might stab you.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like they have said some terrible things about Black people. Like, that is a real funny.
Irish.
She is the patron saint of Ireland. She's maybe a Celtic goddess. I'm not really sure what is she the patron saint of?
Ireland.
Kildare, Ireland, healers, yeah. Poets, blacksmiths, dairy workers, and livestock. So she canceled the sheep shearing festival. I assume.
We know that.
That's why she had the authority.
We watched her do it.
All she had to do was alter the sign, right? Like, yeah. You actually have to cancel.
This is not a photographer who does a lot of backgrounding.
But yeah, Saint Bridget, I would say, is the second most popular of the three saints of Ireland, the three national saints. It's of course Patrick, the famous one, mm-hmm. Bridget, then Columba.
Oh, yeah.
What about Bernadette?
Well, not one of the three patron saints. Sorry.
Okay. Well, no, she's like a 20th century person, but I feel like she's pretty popular. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. She might just be Irish, and I'll have to look that up. My catechism is very expired.
It's insane.
But yeah, I mean, the first of all, the stained glass coming to life was definitely the whole effects budget of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then the priest is like, you know, it's, and then is this the same scene where she's kind of got like a confessional moment with the priest? It's
Lindsay
Lohan and the priest. And he's oh, you got to be careful with that one. And then that's it.
There's no real reason for Aisha to be there at the start of the scene. She may have had a contractual number of appearances.
The priest does tell a joke in this scene that I kind of like, where she's all worried. And it's because he's the only actual Irish actor in this movie. Uh-huh. But where she's like worrying, she's like, father, I have a confession to make. And he's like, and then she's like, I made a wish to St. Bridget. And then he's like, oh, is that all, my dear?
Yeah. Like, oh, this is day one stuff in Ireland.
Yeah, this is what happens all the time.
Oh, man.
And then we get a confrontation with Emma, which Emma seems like she has the right emotions. I'm not sure what Maddie's reaction is. She says, I know you two have feelings for each other. Mm-hmm. Emma says, do you believe in fate? Lindsay Lohan says, sometimes, which... I don't know. And she says, I don't know why, but from the moment I met Paul, I felt like we were supposed to be together. Maybe in another life.
Emma does a great job in this scene. Yeah. I think the actress does a great job. And I also think that this is the moment where we're supposed to see Lindsay Lohan as not being 100% self-interested in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That like she's going to do it. She hasn't decided to fix it all until she gets her friend. Her heart's on the line, and
Except
she's like, now
why wouldn't she have decided to fix it all at that point? Because her life has been a nightmare up until this point.
So
like,
we,
at no point has anything positive happened to her in this movie ever.
No. Well, yeah, she has a light moment where she flops backwards onto a bed and goes, I'm marrying Paul Kennedy.
Yeah,
and that's
uh-huh.
the apex moment for her. Everything else is just like humiliation and then like the agony of wish fulfillment when it's not working out the way that you had hoped.
Also, I would say the thing she learns most from this wish is that no one likes her but her mother. Like, at no point does Aisha Curry say, like, hey, maybe let's not do the wedding rehearsal because
the bride
is in here.
And, yeah, she and the bridesmaid are trying to get it on. First of all, Paul Kennedy is wearing a plaid jacket for his wedding, which uh-huh. should have made her call it off right there, I think.
It's like from L.L. Bean. Yeah. It's like if L.L. Bean made a wedding outfit.
But and the wedding outfit was called like an Irish wedding.
So we there's no Jane Seymour, there's no wedding dress, and then Paul's mom has another tremendous line. What is she wearing? Where's the family wedding dress?
Also, speaking of dresses, Ayesha Curry and Emma are in these mint green floor length, hideous, like compliment nobody with bolero jackets.
They're really unflattering.
Not even bolero length in the back. They're like 2 inches in the back. They look like just like joke sleeves. They look like some kind of prank sleeves. And these two gorgeous actors are wearing these hideous outfits, and it's doing them no favors. And it's like, it's a bridesmaid dress. You could do anything fun in that moment.
Yeah, I would say both of these, all of these actresses are very pretty. They
give these women of color some jewel tones that will flatter them and like be beautiful and gorgeous. But no, they're wearing floor length. Like it's like their hands are covered. They're like wearing the most modest outfits. It's just.
Well, this is actually a aggressively right wing movie when it comes to sex, I believe. Right.
Oh, for sure.
And then we get Lindsay Lohan's scene. People tell me I need to speak up for myself. I'm not in love with Paul, and I'm pretty sure he feels the same way about me. And then we learn that someone you marry shouldn't be someone you just wish for. And then she reveals she wrote the book. And we get comical fighting, headlocks, fighting, choking.
So much fighting at this
wedding. Maddie's mom is in the hospital. In
And the red wig on the stunt double is going over the cake. The cake that's too tall for the van.
Oh, my gosh. A lot of things. And then Emma gets mad because Paul Kennedy called her irrelevant. Which feel like Emma can certainly do better. But at the same time, she's going to have to start getting promoted at Bergdorf's at the same
time. I mean, her maybe feelings. Not. If she marries that like Kennedy money, whatever it's from, she can get all the Botox she wants.
Yeah, she liked the family dress.
In that scene. Right.
She's like, it's not that bad in her weird British / Hong Kong / Australian accent that is only you only get when you're like a School of America's student.
Yeah,
there's a parapet.
You're like a child of diplomats.
And then she and Jim's kiss, and then they go. She goes to unwish her wish.
And St. Bridget is like, no, we don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. She and James, they go separate ways anyway. He's like, I can't deal with this drama. This is way too much drama.
Because he's running from his life. And this is his life he's going to
And he's like, Bolivia calls. And I don't care how you just left your wedding and you left the altar for me. I am going to go. I have a lizard to photograph.
And then we get another classic line. Please, St. Bridget, let me unwish my wish. Which is, I guess, what you have to say.
She's like, those are the magic words.
And then we get a rewind. Hair dryer, empty shower, no penises at all.
Not even the one. I like how they go straight from like St. Bridget makes wind to like, oh, there's wind in this hair dryer.
We
get continuity there.
The patron saint of wind. We get to see some bridesmaid dresses also folded up and crammed into suitcases. And James is not the wedding photographer in non-wish reality.
Who looks like James is, though.
Yeah, he looks a lot like James, though.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan in her bridesmaid dress, the mint green modest getup, goes and taps him, and it's not him.
And they're wearing fascinator hats, which, again, these are English people.
The fascinator hats look like wicker baskets, though.
Yeah,
like something truly... They look like they're full of woodland strawberries.
This is not, these are not Irish people that are having this wedding. This is English through and through.
We did, my cousin's British, Irish husband, his family did wear crazy fascinator hats to their wedding.
I have to say, though, like, I think that it's so, like, I thought that this movie was going to definitely tie into some sort of, like, family thing that Madeline Kelly had back from Ireland, that there was going to be some kind of, like, tie-in for the Irishness, like only an Irish girl can sit.
She has red hair.
But no, it was just completely like everybody's national heritage was just completely ignored in this movie.
No, she's never had a Guinness. She doesn't know what the cliffs are called. She does like James Joyce, apparently, which has led her to her career writing romance novels.
Ghostwriting.
So then, after an entire movie of pining after an obviously gay man who she had no chemistry or real interactions with, we now get a random black character comes out of nowhere to ask Aisha Curry to dance.
No, he had been there earlier. He's in the beginning scene.
I'm just saying he didn't have a line before this.
No.
Does she ask him to dance? There's some sort of vibe like that. But it was definitely like, oh my God, like this came out of absolutely nowhere.
I will say he does not seem a lot like Steph Curry. I'll say that.
No.
She clearly doesn't have a type, if that's what we're going.
Yeah. He seems like a real big slab of beef. He's a handsome guy, but just not really what her real life husband looks like. And then we get the publisher wants a sequel to Two Irish Hearts quickly. Let me suggest the title, Three Irish Hearts. And will she work on the book while he goes on a month-long honeymoon?
No.
She's not gonna
do it. Oh, you guys, this is a big spoiler. She stands up for herself.
Uh-huh. She's going to write her own story.
Uh-huh. About, she later says, tree lizards in Bolivia.
Yeah. I thought that was just, and then
that turns out to be a lie. And then she says, no, my book is actually going to be about the cliffs of Moher.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's not like a thing.
It's going to be like a geology book.
I also like when they meet here without actually knowing, I would say this is also creep behavior from Lindsay Lohan, uh-huh. who now has these weird memories and all this knowledge of this guy. So she stalks him. She's dressed like a lunatic as usual. And he is sitting on a bench because he's a homeless man. Yeah. And then he turned down the job about
on that bus. She has taken from him his drive to do everything that he wanted to do by being like, oh, I guess you just don't want to live your own life. And then she walks away and then we see him again. And he's like still in that reality hours later. And he's like, man, that American girl really read me the riot act. I had everything.
Yeah, like he's still depressed. And then he turned down the job about the Bolivian tree lizard. I like to think that St. Bridget actually just murdered the last living Bolivian tree lizard to get them together, because there's nothing she's not capable of. And yeah, that's it. She's going to write a book about the Cliffs of Moher. The only other thing I wanted to mention is Ed Spillers, the actor who plays James Thomas, made his stage debut a couple of years ago, and he played the role of Charlie Babbitt in the stage production of Rain Man, hilarious movie to turn into a play, I would say. So much of it is about a road trip. Is it like people on the stage in a fake like car set? Like, oh my God.
Man.
That was terrible.
A whirlwind, but I have to say that I thought Aisha Curry did a beautiful job.
I thought she was fine.
Not very much to work with.
She is fine.
And there was a lot of things about this movie that were fine.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, no, I was very interested in like, why did they have the budget that they have for the things that they have it for? Mm-hmm. That's the big question that lingers.
Because a lot of it is green screened, especially like New York City stuff. So, but then some of it is expensive. I don't know.
Also, why does it open with Lindsay Lohan almost getting decapitated by a scarf?
That. And she almost breaks a precious vase and then she doesn't, but it's not Chekhov's vase.
There's a lot of unpaid off guns on the wall in this movie. Yeah.
She's like kind
of. Well, James Joyce is her favorite author, not Chekhov. True. So,
yeah.
You're right.
It's a lot of like almost physical comedy that happens. Like, she just gets splashed with mud
Yeah,
but it's not that much.
It's not that much, and also, like, it's not an important outfit. It's what she slept in because she didn't have any clothes. Like, and they had the wadded up wedding dress and the wadded up bridesmaid dress. They pulled both out of the same suitcase to show that she's back in the original reality.
Well, that was the other thing that doesn't pay off is, like, why does she even have a bridesmaid dress? Because her luggage was missing. Like, that was an entire plot point.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
The luggage was missing. And then there's the whole thing about the family dress that just gets, like, no one cares anymore.
Yeah, no one, it didn't matter.
Because Emma's not wearing it because Lindsay Lohan and that actress are not the same size.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point.
So it's just a very, there's a lot that does not resolve. It's kind of like television show The X-Files in every way. Is, yeah. In every way. I would say that that's the closest analogy for this, which is also a romance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of insane outfits, how did you feel about Kim Mulkey's departure from the women's LSU coach?
Speaking of an Irish outfit, oh my goodness. She was dressed like it was St. Patrick's Day. Did you see her?
Yeah. It wasn't as spangly as normal, but it was head to toe green. So that's,
it was so green.
Yeah.
I like her exasperation. I don't know. We could do an entire different episode about Kim Mulkey. Did you read the Washington Post thing?
Yeah. I was sort of disappointed. I thought it would be, like, worse.
I think she was just, I was like, was that a brilliant PR tactic on her part to be like, he better not publish this? Because it was kind of a flattering profile. But also, there's so much about her psychology that I'm so fascinated by because she's the opposite of me in every way. But it's been a fascinating, series to watch. Really good games.
Yeah, it's been very, like, it's all the players you would have wanted to watch, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I can understand people who would maybe have preferred seeing LSU, but I mean, Caitlin Clark's just been I love the quotes after the game because Kim Mulkey was getting ripped for Caitlin Clark scoring 41 points on Iowa, and her response was like, well, someone had to guard her, and we also didn't stop her in the previous game we played where we beat them. We just managed to do other things.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, there's a moment where Angel Reese, like, they get her, they get a shot of her, and she's just like, Caitlin Clark just hit a three from like 4 feet back from the three point. And Angel Reese is just like, her palms are up in the air. And she's not even gesturing to anybody else. She's just gesturing to herself, like, what the hell am I supposed to do about that?
Yeah. It actually reminds me of the spouse of an actress from Irish Wish, where if you're making 28 footers, you kind of can't design a defense to stop that.
Yeah, no, she's
like, that's just like basketball. Yeah.
Yeah. That comparison is apt. And I've heard it a few times between Caitlin Clark and Steph Curry, but like, I think she's fun to watch. I think it's really fun to watch Caitlin Clark do good game.
Yeah.
They follow her like with a tight shot on her face, and she's like, good game, good game, good game. And it's very sort of open eyed, blank face.
Yeah, she's Larry Bird, not Steph
it's
Curry.
Very Larry
she's
Bird.
A psychopath.
Yeah.
Larry Bird, like, I feel like his playing style, it wasn't that like the zone, like his heart rate was like the perfect heart rate for him to like see through time on the court.
Yeah. And, like, and like doesn't look that impressive athletically, but just has insane balance and court vision and shooting accuracy, and so you're kind of like, wait, what? How do
and you, also how hate they... self-loathing. It's like,
yeah, but like you look at Larry Bird, and you're always like, how did he get that many rebounds? And it's like, well, he just has like weird anticipation, but also doesn't seem to like have ever lifted a weight. You know?
Yeah. No, she's a slight person. Like, my husband had never seen Caitlin Clark, and he was surprised at what she looked like when he saw her.
Yeah. I have to leave for work.
Oh,
so
right.
We've got to go.
Well, let's cut this then. Aaron, thank you so much
for
talking about Irish. Where can people buy your novel?
Oh, they can buy Vow of Celibacy, my book, which is nothing to do with celibacy. at my, you can go to erinjudge.com with an E, E-R-I-N-J-U-D-G-E.com. Mm-hmm. And if you're ever in LA or New York, you should check out Romantic Comedy at the Rip Bodice Bookstore.
Yeah, the show's really great.
Yeah, it's a fun show.
Really, my favorite show to do, honestly.
It's so fun. Our audience is like 90% women, which is rare for stand-up, and it's so much fun. And yeah, you should check out our show.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Aaron.
Hey, thanks. That was great.
Fun.
All right.
I hope you all have an enjoyable Final Four week.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.